In a book called Beyond These Walls, Richard L. Dunnigan writes, "At their school carnival, our kids won 4 free goldfish, so I went out Saturday morning to find an aquarium. The first few I priced ranged from $40 to $70. Then I spotted it right in the aisle, a discarded 10-gallon display tank complete with gravel and filter for a mere $5. Sold. Of course, it was dirty, but the savings made the 2 hours of cleanup a breeze." He said those 4 new goldfish looked great in their new home, at least for the first day. But by Sunday, one had died. Well, too bad, but 3 remained. Monday morning revealed a second casualty, and by Monday night, a 3rd goldfish had gone belly up. He said, "We called in an expert, a member of our congregation who has a 30-gallon tank. It didn't take him long to discover the problem. I had washed the tank with soap." Dunnigan then says, "My uninformed efforts had destroyed the very lives I was trying to protect. Sometimes in our zeal to clean up our own lives or the lives of others, we unfortunately use killer soaps, condemnation, criticism, nagging, fits of temper. We think we're doing right, but our harsh, self-righteous treatment is more than they can bear." We're going to talk about gentleness and meekness. In many Bible translations, the same Greek word is sometimes translated meek or meekness, and sometimes gentle or gentleness. Somewhere throughout history, the words have become almost interchangeable. In the latter part of Galatians chapter 5, Paul is listing qualities he identifies as the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 23, at the end of that list, he mentions gentleness and self-control. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, he says, "I, Paul, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." James 3, verse 13 says, "Let him show by conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Gentleness or meekness is not weakness. It is power or strength under control. It's the submission of our strength and will to God's control and purpose. A common view about meek and gentle people is that they get walked over. They get stepped on. They get laughed at. And most often they get ignored. So a lot of people say, "Well, thanks, but no thanks. I'll pass on meek and gentle." Often in dealing with people in positions of power and authority, owners of company or corporations, leaders of nations, in dealing with people who have any kind of power, kindness and gentleness are seen as weakness. The Greek language in which the New Testament was originally written was an extremely precise and expressive language. When the Greeks developed a word, they not only gave it a careful definition, but they almost always illustrated it. For example, when they described meekness or gentleness with a picture, they illustrated it with a very powerful horse that had been tamed. The wild and powerful spirit and nature of the animal was brought under the control of its owner. That's the fundamental meaning of the word meek or gentle. A tamed horse has yielded or submitted its strength to its master. The strength of the animal is no longer wasted, but it's been focused in order to fulfill a purpose. The Greek's definition of gentleness and meekness was power under control or submitted strength. The horse is still powerful, it's still strong, but that power and that strength is now under the control of the master. Meekness may also be demonstrated with water. The force and power of water can be out of control, bringing death and destruction to thousands of people through a flooded river or a massive tsunami wave. And the power and the force of water can be focused and brought under control to turn a water wheel and grind wheat, or the water can flow through a dam, turning large turbines to produce electricity to give power to an entire city. Charles Swindoll writes, "In our rough and rugged individualism, we think of gentleness as weakness, being soft and virtually spineless. But this is not accurate." He says, "Gentleness includes such enviable qualities as having strength under control, being calm and peaceful when surrounded by a heated atmosphere, emitting a soothing effect on those who may be angry or out of control. Gentleness includes possessing tact and gracious courtesy that causes others to retain their self-esteem and dignity. Instead of losing, the gentle gain. Instead of being ripped off and taken advantage of," he says, "the gentle come out ahead." The scriptures tell us that gentleness and meekness are virtues. When God tames us, when we are meek, when we are gentle, we become powerful under His control. Jonathan Edwards suggested that gentleness may well be called the Christian spirit. He said, "All who are truly godly and are really disciples of Christ have a gentle spirit in them." Gentleness is commanded of all Christians. Those bearing the fruit of the Spirit are gentle, as we read earlier, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we are guided by wisdom from above, we will be gentle. Again, James 3, verse 17 says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." To be gentle is an essential qualification of an elder. 1 Timothy 3, verse 3 says, "Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous." This attitude of fairness, moderation, and forbearance will relieve contention and strife, not only in the church, but in the home and in the community. We are to be Christ-like, and Christ was meek and gentle. A passage we read earlier, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul says, "I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." In Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," or meek, some translations say, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." When a horse is tamed, it can be done in two ways. It can be tamed forcefully, or it can be tamed gently. Perhaps you've seen the cowboy with whip and spurs break in a horse. It's a rough job, but in time, the horse submits its strength to be ridden. A horse can also be tamed gently by using some of the same ways horses communicate with each other through sound and touch. As the horse handler works with the horse, it will eventually grow to trust the handler and allow itself to be ridden. In a similar way, we can interact with others, and we can interact with our children in one of two ways. We can interact with them forcefully, or we can interact with them gently. Both ways might break them or tame them. Both ways might get them to comply, but the one way usually produces peace and harmony, and the other way produces resistance, rebellion, and bitterness. In his well-known book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, author Robert Fulghum addressed the problem of a general lack of courtesy and politeness in this way. He said, "All I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten." He goes on to say, "Share everything, play fair, don't hit people, say you're sorry when you hit somebody." He then said that the world would be a better place if everyone lived by these basic principles. To further deal with the common misconception of meekness, to prevent us from getting a lopsided view of gentleness, to prevent us from thinking that being gentle is at odds with or being strong or holding others accountable or taking a stand for what is right and true, it needs to be said that meekness and gentleness are Christ-like qualities, and they in no way set aside God's commands to stand firm for what is good and right. They in no way set aside the need to stand against sin. You would have to ignore much of Jesus' interactions with people to conclude that he did not stand strongly for righteousness and stand against that which is wrong. Casting the money changers out of the temple area. In Matthew 23, also, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." In Matthew 15, Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, and then he said they are blind leaders of the blind. We see a balance in Jesus. In John chapter 8, we see a gentle touch for the immoral, for the woman caught in adultery. But we also see Jesus standing for righteousness. We read John chapter 8, verses 2 through 9. It says, "At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there." Jesus had the right to throw the first stone because he was without sin, but he didn't. Instead, he spoke to her gently. He spoke to her with compassion. Notice verses 10 and 11 says, "When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' Then Jesus declared, 'Neither do I condemn you.'" Here we see his gentleness, his compassion. But we also see Jesus' strength for what is right and true. We see him holding her accountable when he then says in the rest of verse 11, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Some translations say, "Go and sin no more." In 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25, Paul said that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. The passage shows that gentleness is a twin to humility, but it also shows the strength of character there. We need to be gentle, and in humility, we need to correct those who are in opposition. Gentleness and kindness are also related. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted or gentle, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Gentleness is the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. Proverbs 19:22 in one translation says, "Kindness makes a man attractive." People everywhere need the warmth and peace of tenderness and kindness. Anyone can react with evil for evil. Anyone can be rude and inconsiderate. Anyone can be harsh and unkind. Only the strong can contain their emotions and calmly control their tongue and their behavior. Proverbs 20 and verse 3 says, "It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel." In an article on the history of body armor called Ballistic Fashion by Carl S. Kruzelnicki. In World War I, he says, the British discovered that thick layers of silk stopped low-velocity shrapnel. I'm losing my ability to talk. The British discovered that thick layers of silk stopped low-velocity shrapnel better than steel did. So they wound the silk around their heads and they wore leather horse-riding helmets on top of the silk. And this was a long time ago. Scientists still aren't sure just what it is that gives silk its strength. But it's true that in certain situations, soft, gentle, tender silk can prove far stronger than cold, hard steel. He goes on to say, in World War II, nylon was used for flak jackets. Jesus showed us the same holds true for human character. Some people try to make themselves impenetrable to the people around them. They develop a shell, like a crustacean, in order to protect themselves. But Jesus showed us that gentleness, tenderness, having a heart that's soft toward others, is in fact a quality of greater strength. When we think of gentleness, we note a marked contrast between that ideal and the standards of our era. Ours is an age that is too often marked by hostility and malice, rather than compassion and reasonableness. We see people take to the streets and burn cars and smash windows. Paul wrote, "Let your gentleness be known to all men," Philippians 4, verse 5. Matthew Arnold, a 19th century English poet, defined meekness as sweet reasonableness. Hans Suyin said, "There is nothing stronger in the world than gentleness." Gentleness with others is a sign of strength and maturity. We often see the words fragile, handle with care, on a box to protect the contents of a package. In an ideal, perfect world, such boxes would be gently moved from place to place and would never be damaged. But in the real world, fragile, handle with care, means nothing. These words are often overlooked. Boxes are thrown together and carelessly dropped. Every day, packages are opened to reveal broken and damaged contents. When we consider the broken hearts and lives of so many people, maybe we should envision fragile, handle with care stamped on everyone who is made in the image of God. How often is the heart of an individual crushed or the spirit of a child broken? Words and actions damage and wound people every day. We've been sold a lie. The world wants us to believe that gentleness, meekness is weakness and slavery. The truth is just the opposite. There's no one as powerful, there's no one as free as the person who has submitted his or her will to the master of the universe. And out of that power and that freedom comes a gentle spirit. It's a spirit that's being conformed into the image of Christ. It is a compassionate, kind, loving soul who would never intentionally bring harm to another, but will do everything possible to repair the harm that they may have caused. Let us seek to see all others as beings created in the image of God. Let us seek to interact with others with meekness and gentleness, because we recognize that all are created in the image of God.